Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Episode 75, Women in Horror. Yeah, we've got a whole range of ways of covering this subject. Women are often at peril, of course, in horror movies, menaced by the creature from the Black Lagoon or fixated on by Count Dracula, or as Jamie Lee Curtis has repeatedly experienced, being interrupted in babysitting duties on Halloween night. No mere victim in those films, of course. She's also the hero who saves the day, at least for one more year. But we'll also talk about women who make horror, something that's been happening more frequently lately with very intriguing results, and we will include music from female composers in this genre too. And then for the trailer, at the end of the show, we've got a track performed by one of the great women of cinema who became an unlikely horror star. Well, when we were growing up, we all have our gods and goddesses, and I know my deities were largely made up of the monsters from the Universal Pictures pantheon, and most of those marquee names are male. Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, the Wolfman, the Mummy, but that roster always featured a woman who didn't even spend that much time in the movie named for her, but was such a strikingly imagined and designed character that she was always part of the first team. The 1935 film The Bride of Frankenstein has two women who could be the title character, Dr. Frankenstein's actual bride, played by Valerie Hobson, but also the creature assembled out of dead parts by the doctor, intended as a mate for the so-called monster we met in the first Frankenstein, himself played by Boris Karloff. The latter bride is embodied in prominent scars and the greatest fright wig of all time by Elsa Lanchester, an extremely eccentric actress married in real life to Charles Laughton. As though to multiply the sense of doubling in the film, Elsa Lanchester plays another role in the movie's prologue as Mary Shelley, the author of the novel Frankenstein. So this is women in horror in more ways than one. The music in Bride of Frankenstein is remarkable. It's composed by Franz Waxman, or Waxman, depending on how you want to pronounce it, one of the serious European composers who escaped Hitler for Hollywood in the 1930s. One of our previous shows on Frankenstein movies, this is a subject I'm fond of, having written a book about the Frankenstein movie world, available now from Columbia U Press. Okay, that's over with. I played Franz Waxman's amazing music for the creation sequence in this film, which among other things has this steady thumping drum beat throughout with heartbeat-like insistence. Here is a track shortly after that one. This one is called Presenting the Bride and the Explosion, in which Elsa Lanchester makes her appearance, hair standing over her head as though electrified, hissing like a cat when she sets eyes on her presumed husband. Both of them have their musical motifs woven into this piece. Music from The Bride of Frankenstein.
Thank you.
Music composed by Franz Wachsmann for The Bride of Frankenstein. The bride herself is unveiled and really brings down the house shortly thereafter. I want to stick with the idea of female authorship in horror for our next selection, which has music from an adaptation of a novel by Shirley Jackson. Although the 1963 film adapted from the book The Haunting of Hill House is simply titled The Haunting. The story has a group of people gathering in an old dark house for an experiment, and troubling events ensue. The movie is centered on Julie Harris's not entirely stable character, and it gets a terrific boost from the score by Humphrey Searle, who is primarily known as a modern classical composer, but who did a few film scores along the way. He used atonal music to correspond to the movie's sense of dread. As you can hear here, in the opening credits track. That is music from the 1963 film, The Haunting, composed by Humphrey Searle. The opening credits there setting the tone for an unsettling exercise, mostly in mood rather than overt shocks, based on a very memorable novel by Shirley Jackson. If you watch a lot of horror movies from the 1960s, you might have noticed that this sometimes atonal approach was popular for a while back then, and for good reasons, I think, as regards the horror movie. Another serious concert composer who dabbled in film scores was Elizabeth Lutyens, born into the British aristocracy, but an enthusiastic proponent of very modern 20th century sounds, and she paid the bills by writing scores for the horror movies produced by Hammer Films in England and other British production companies, movies with titles like Paranoiac and The Earth Dies Screaming. Her style worked well in film because music that might seem sort of avant-garde in a concert hall really can work like gangbusters in a horror movie. So here are two cues from her movie work. The first is from the 1965 film Dr. Terror's House of Horrors. I guess with a name like Dr. Terror, you would probably go toward House of Horror. That sets the scene for a film about strangers on a train who have a tarot card reading and hear scary stories. Then you'll hear a cue from The Skull, which is also 1965, a cue called The Auction, and a story about the skull of the Marquis de Sade. two cues there from movies produced in the mid-1960s in England, both featuring Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee in the cast, Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, and The Skull. The music is by Elizabeth Lutyens, quite an interesting figure from the avant-garde concert hall to the low-budget horror picture. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and our subject today is women in horror. Well, just to enjoy that vein for another moment, let's move directly to the drive-in theater with a title that really should be included in the topic of women in horror, the 1958 movie Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, the alarming story of a woman who takes revenge on her enemies after an alien encounter gives her a king-sized glow-up. It's a dumb movie, and yet you can't argue that it's a feminist statement. Really, watch it sometime. The music is composed by Ronald Stein, who worked for the B-movie maestro Roger Corman and others. Let's hear the opening credits music. That is music from Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, admittedly a better title than movie, composed by Ronald Stein. Let's move along to one of the undersung horror movies of the 1970s, Sisters, directed by Brian De Palma, a film in which Margot Kidder, in a quite a bravura performance, might be the best thing she ever did on screen, plays formerly conjoined twin sisters, one of whom has become murderous. The 1972 film was scored by the mighty Bernard Herrmann, veteran of Alfred Hitchcock's film universe. I have the feeling that Brian De Palma was sitting around wondering if they could use music that was sort of like Bernard Herrmann, and somebody said, why not call Bernard Herrmann? And he said, yes. Herrmann delivers a suitably moody score here. This is a cue titled Kick Death. That is music by Bernard Herrmann from the 1972 film Sisters, directed by Brian De Palma, starring Margot Kidder. I won't spoil the plot about formerly conjoined twins, but just remember the Irving Berlin song, Sisters, which includes the line, "Lord help the mister who comes between me and my sister," and you can take it from there. You know, vampire movies have regularly taken a distinctly female turn, going back at least as far as Dracula's Daughter, 1936. And I want to cite a title from 1970. This is another Hammer film from Britain called Vampire Lovers. It was part of a cycle of lady vampire movies from Hammer during that time, in which Ingrid Pitt plays the seductive villainess, whose erotic attention is directed toward the women in this gothic nightmare. I can tell you, it was all pretty heady stuff if you were a 12-year-old, rather inappropriately seeing this at a drive-in movie theater, but I won't go into detail. By the way, the original poster carries one of those mock warning labels, which in this case reads, "Caution, not for the mentally immature." So I guess they had my number. Anyway, here's some music composed by Harry Robinson, a cue titled Carmilla and Emma. Music from The Vampire Lovers, a female forward horror movie. That's a cue called Carmilla and Emma, composed by Harry Robinson for that 1970 film. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We're talking about women and horror. Okay, well, let's have a slight palate cleanser here from this generally orchestral style of soundtrack. This is a cut from a film directed by a future Oscar-winning director, Catherine Bigelow. Long before she made The Hurt Locker, or House of Dynamite, Bigelow worked in the horror genre, and her 1987 film, Near Dark, a vampire picture, features a soundtrack by the European electronic music mavens, Tangerine Dream. Let's hear about 3 minutes of their groove. This is a cue called Father and Son, as they help bring to life Bigelow's tale of vampirism as a symptom of what's happening out there in the American wildness. music by Tangerine Dream, in case you couldn't guess, from their score for the 1987 vampire film Near Dark. That's directed by Kathryn Bigelow. And I want to stay with women directing horror now for 1999 sleeper that I have highlighted a couple of times on this show before. Ravenous is an ingenious, eerie, quite funny movie about cannibalism breaking out at a U.S. Army fort in the mid-19th century frontier, directed by Antonia Bird. And its music is a real standout, I think, a curious mix with two different creators, Michael Nyman, who is someone who bounces back and forth between the concert hall and the cinema. It's notable for his work with the director Peter Greenaway, and maybe you remember his score for Jane Campion's The Piano. And also Damon Albarn from the pop band Blur. So here's a little bit. I think this is mostly from Nyman on this one. It's a spooky cue with a spooky title, Stranger at the Window. That is music from a movie I'm very fond of, Ravenous, which has a soundtrack composed by Michael Nyman and Damon Albarn. That film has almost no women in it, but it is directed by Antonia Bird and gets a place in this accounting for that. Another woman drawn to directing horror is Jennifer Kent, the Australian creator of The Babadook, a 2014 movie that gave a new name to the genre. The Babadook is a character in a children's book who can be summoned into physical form, or so it seems, unless the monster is, you know, possibly a projection on the part of our young hero or possibly his overwhelmed mother. It's a really memorable and smart movie. The music is by Jed Kurtzell, or is it Kurtzell? I don't know, but he's also Australian, a composer who frequently works with his older brother, Justin, who is a director. Here's some of the creepy mood of the Babadook, represented by its end credits music. Thank you. music from Jennifer Kent's film The Babadook, composed by Jed Kurtzel. Well, a very evocative recent exercise in horror came in the 2022 film Watcher, directed by Chloe Okuno. Movie about disorientation and loneliness. It follows a young American woman played by Micah Monroe, who sort of feels adrift when she moves to Romania with her husband, who turns out is almost never around. She can't shake the feeling that the weirdo in the window of a building across the way might just be a serial killer. It's made on a low budget, but with an abundance of assurance. I think this is a good one, and I really like the low-key mood music created by Nathan Halpern. Let's hear a cue from Watcher. This one is just titled Theme from Watcher. Music from Watcher, a 2022 film directed by Chloe Okuno with music by Nathan Halpern. You're listening to The Music of the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are talking about women in horror and the music that comes out of that. Well, you know, it's rare for horror movies to figure in the Oscars, but the 2024 release, The Substance, managed to snag a Best Picture nomination and even a few more, including for the directing and screenplay by the French filmmaker Coralie Farjat, lead actress Demi Moore, and it actually won an Oscar for makeup and hairstyling. And if you've seen the movie, you know why. It is the tale of a once popular celebrity, now considered over the hill by the entertainment industry, who transforms herself into a younger version through a mysterious potion. But as Dr. Jekyll found out, there is always a price to be paid for chemistry experiments that include your own body. The slick soundtrack is by the British musician Rafferty, and we'll share a cut titled Shoot the Monster.
Yeah.
That piece of music is composed by Rafferty for the movie The Substance, a cue titled Shoot the Monster. And if you recall the climax of the movie, you know it really goes for it at the end of the film, a true monster movie that seems to implicate our culture of celebrity, which is seeming like our entire culture these days, actually. Well, I wouldn't feel right about this selection of music if I didn't include something from Under the Skin, Jonathan Glazer's 2013 film with Scarlett Johansson as a visitor to this planet who does some terrible things in service of her research or whatever it is she's doing. The spellbinding music is the work of Mika Levy, the non-binary composer whose score is one of the best of this century. I'll just say that. So be prepared to be very, very scared as we listen to 3.5 minutes of a track called Lonely Void from Under the Skin. Music from Under the Skin, composed by Mika Levy, a soundtrack that really conjures up something otherworldly and disturbing, very modern sounding piece. And yet one that takes us back to the Bride of Frankenstein in a way, in that steady drumbeat of terror that fueled that music. All right, well, that trailer music indicates that we're ready for something different, but are we really this time? And we'll thoroughly break the mood today with a true novelty song, although it is possible you will find this more horrifying than what we've just heard. So the 1962 film, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, was a box office smash that restored some luster to the careers of Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, Hollywood titans, having a field day as sisters and former showbiz stars who are now stuck with each other. And you know, there's actually a theme song to this movie. It is not vocalized in the film itself, but it was released as sort of a novelty single when the movie came out. Written by Frank Duvall and Lucas Heller, performed by Debbie Burton and Bette Davis herself. Here is the musical question, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? That single was released in conjunction with the movie Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. It did not actually appear in the film. Sung there by Debbie Burton and a very game Bette Davis. By the way, you can see a clip of Davis performing it on the Andy Williams Show. So you might want to go to YouTube and treat yourself to that. That song written by Frank Duvall, who did the music for the movie, and Lucas Heller. So we're not going to really be able to top that. But at least until that point, I hope we did get a little horror mood going with this collection of movie music related to women and horror. We'll go out with something from a film by one of the world's greatest living directors, Claire Denis, who made a vampire cannibal movie in the 2001 French film Trouble Every Day, a deranged exercise splashed with blood and sex. Denis employed the pop band Tindersticks to create the soundtrack, and they came up with a curious, kind of brooding, slightly jazzy score that seems to locate these monsters in the clubs of Paris after dark. Here's the end titles music for Trouble Every Day. My name is Robert Horton, and I thank you for listening to this kind of trouble on the music and the movies.
bad. I could get away before the sunshine leaves your eyes. But I need to know how to find a place before the days become night, before the years become light.
And this trip, you know, never begins. This trip, you never begins.
Words that you
this trip,
never begins. This trip, never begins.
Trouble every day. Yeah, look into my eyes. Hear the words I can't say. Words that define. There's trouble every day.
Thank you.